This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Restaurants are popping up all over town with a diverse and eclectic list of menus and styles. But something else is trending in the restaurant world. They're getting louder. Data show the ambient sound inside restaurants is now into the high 70 decibel range. And for perspective, once you get to 75 decibels, it's tough to have a conversation without shouting. Now, some are concerned that a noisy restaurant amounts to discrimination against those who have suffered from hearing loss. Let's discuss. Joining Cincinnati Edition today are the Hill Hear Better Clinic audiologist Michael Hill. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
And WVXU food writer and Wine Me, Dine Me author Julie Neeson. Welcome back, Julie.
Hello.
Later, we think we're going to be joined on the phone by the managing partner of the new restaurant in Over the Rhine, Sart. His name is Jim Cornwell. He's going to talk to us a little bit about how they set their restaurant up. If we're able to connect with him, we'll have him join us later on. So for those with hearing impairments, restaurant noise isn't just an irritation, it's discrimination. That was a headline from the Washington Post, and the article notes, quote, under Title III of the Americans with Disabilities Act, restaurants as places of public accommodation must accommodate disabilities. But what if the disability is a hearing impairment and the request is for a lower volume? On this issue, the law has largely remained silent. Mike, what are the issues faced by people with hearing impairments in restaurants that may be too loud?
Yeah, well, first of all, like normal conversational speech is around 60 or 65. So if noise levels are beyond that, then people have difficulty understanding speech. Even people with normal hearing miss out on 37% of what's being said. So the hearing impairment makes that even worse than that. So they can hear, often hear, but don't understand. And someone made a nice analogy. They're talking about smoking, you know, that secondhand smoke is banned because it can cause damage to other people. So why aren't there laws that would affect the noise levels in restaurants so that people with hearing impairment can hear and understand what's going on, enjoy the restaurants as well?
How many people are we talking about, Mike? Do you know, like, offhand how many Americans or what percentage of the population tend to suffer from some form of hearing loss?
Yeah, in the United States, it's ranges from, I've heard quotes from 34 to 36 million people with hearing impairment. About 1 out of 10 Americans have hearing loss, and about 20% of the people over age 50 have hearing impairment. So it's pretty prevalent.
Does it set in gradually usually, or are there, you know, some concerts you may have attended as a young person or clubs that you went to? Does that cause some damage in certain ages?
Yeah, definitely. The hearing loss, the most common type of hearing loss is sensory neural or nerve or inner ear type loss, where the inner hair cells become damaged. And that damage comes from everything. So, you know, the noise exposure, this is a noisy world. And a lot of people associate it with aging. It's not. It's just as we get older, we've been exposed to more noise, and that's the most common cause of the noise or hearing loss, rather.
We want to hear from your experiences on restaurants and noise, and if you think they're too loud, 513-419-7100 is the number to call, or you can email us at talk@wvxu.org. Julie, you know a thing or two about restaurants and food and wine and all those things. You're our resident expert on this. What is the trend in the restaurant industry when it comes to noise and ambience?
Well, you think about the way that restaurants are constructed these days, and for a long time we had a lot lower ceilings, a lot of very purpose-built buildings. If you think about any sort of restaurant in the suburbs, more than likely that is either a like a strip mall, which already has low ceilings, or it's a purpose-built building, like, you know, your Red Lobster or whatever, and I'm sure other restaurants too. But when you go into especially cities where you are repurposing areas that maybe had really high ceilings and lots of concrete, and that really leads towards acoustics that are not ideal for eating and having a social experience along with your food.
So you've experienced that maybe some of them are a little too loud.
Oh, absolutely. And I would say that a lot of the restaurants who get big complaints do a good job of accommodating. I remember, not to pick on them, but when Ottavola opened in OTR, they had a tin ceiling and it was really loud, like couldn't hear my partner across from about as far as we are from each other, which for you listeners is about a foot. And they ended up putting in soundproofing, and it is quite a bit better. You can actually hear yourself think and your partner.
That Washington Post article that I noted earlier also included this passage, quote, restaurant noise routinely climbs into the high 70 decibel range, the whir of a canister vacuum, and sometimes hits the mid 80s, the roar of a nearby diesel truck. At 70 decibels, only half of speech is intelligible. By 75 decibels, people can't converse at all without shouting, and that's for people with normal hearing. So, Mike, what is the danger to diners who aren't necessarily hard of hearing if they frequent establishments that feature that level of volume? Do they face possible damage later on?
The levels really are not loud enough to cause any permanent damage. It can cause some temporary threshold shift. But once again, you talked about impairment and understanding speech. So speech is around 60, 65. If you have to raise your voice in order for someone else to hear you, then those levels are loud enough to cause damage over extended periods of time. But that damage is dependent on how loud and how long you're exposed. And I looked into it, even for the employees in restaurants. Restaurants have peak times, and that's like 3 hours at a time. So it's not like all day. So according to OSHA, you can work in 85 decibels. Decibel is a measurement of loudness. A whisper is 30. Normal speech is 65, and if you stand behind your push lawnmower, it's about 90 decibels. So really, it's not going to harm, but it is detrimental to understanding speech. And there have been studies in restaurants, and in California, they looked at a bunch like a bistro, 65 to 80. So people, when we to understand speech, we have to pick up on the consonants, which are very weak. And they help us to distinguish between words like the color white and wife. And so that noise covers those up, and therefore you're not able to understand. It's really funny. I had a meeting last weekend with a friend, and we said, where could we go where we can hear one another talk? So I just experienced this myself. I have a slight hearing impairment, but it's really not the restaurant's fault. It's the architecture and the way the aesthetics that people like that affect the acoustics.
That was something I wanted to ask about, is that, you know, is it so much the fault of the restaurants or the fact that they're moving into the urban core where we have this historic architecture that we are hellbent on protecting at all costs? Like, we don't alter a lot of it. We want to see those tin ceilings. We want to see those brick walls exposed. And that doesn't lend itself to good sound, so they have to pump up the volume a little bit, it sounds like. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Julie? I mean, do you think that the architecture is harming the experience at all? Are we sacrificing audio quality for other ambient accoutrements?
I'm sure that, and I'm not an architect, but I'm sure that architects are working on ways to preserve that, you know, great ambiance and the great look and feel of these old buildings, as well as allowing people to hear, and not just patrons, but employees as well. I mean, you know, getting your order right is dependent on hearing. If you can't, then that's just not good for anyone. But I do notice things like the ceilings are dropping a little bit, and people are putting up things like textiles to absorb some of the sound. I think that people are trying to deal with it in the ways that they can without harming that overall ambiance and the historical nature of the buildings.
Are we going to see the return of the dropped ceiling?
Please, God, no.
I read this article in Vox that I thought was really interesting because, you know, we didn't pull this topic out of thin air. Both Zagat and Consumer Report surveys have found that excessive noise is the top complaint that diners have. That's ahead of service. That's ahead of the size of the crowds. That's ahead of the food issues that they might have with their order. And the Vox article quotes this man, Tom Sietsema. He's a restaurant critic for The Washington Post, who also said that noise is by far his chief complaint about the restaurants that he reviews. So I have to wonder, and Julie, perhaps you're best to field this question, if these complaints are so prevalent, why is it still so common that the restaurants are so loud?
Great question. So I notice every time I use OpenTable to make a reservation, they ask you for a review at the end. And I always, you know, tick the little boxes. And one of them is sound. And I tick that very lowest box quite often. I think that restaurants, you know, do what they what they can do under very slim margins. There's not always a lot of, you know, money to put in some sort of sound dampening system unless you're, you know, a really big player. So I think that they try to do what they can. As restaurants continue to field these complaints, I have a feeling that it will become a higher priority.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join this conversation. Let's go to the phones now. We have William on the line. Hi, William. What's your question or comment?
The comment I had was with regards to mapping and understanding the noise levels in restaurants, that there are a couple of applications that are available. I think, Julie, you mentioned OpenTable, that they have a sound rating. There's a product available called SoundPrint that was developed by entrepreneur called Greg Farber, and it's available on iOS platforms and mobile devices. You can do a measurement to the sound level in the restaurant or public venue and basically provide crowdsourcing. There's another one that's available from a professor at University of Washington out in Seattle by the name of Kelly Tremblay, and it's called I Hear You, and it's I-H-E-A-R and then U. And that's also available on the iOS platform. So I'm not sure. I think it's available on the Android platform as well.
I appreciate that, William, because I did make a note of both of those apps that I found them in an article in AARP magazine. So that's very helpful advice. Again, the I Hear You app is I Hear the letter U, and you can find that on your favorite places. So, William, we thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome.
You know, the Apple Watch has functionality now where it will give you a warning if you go above 85 decibels. I learned that when my dogs had a fight earlier this week.
Yeah.
And it so kindly told me that it was loud. You know, being able to have that wearable and monitoring is good, too. I wait for the day when a restaurant does that.
Well, the AARP magazine, which I don't subscribe to yet, I don't have to, but I just happened to find it online. It offered some of these tips, which seemed very valuable. They offered some old-fashioned tips, you know, outside of apps. Just call ahead or email and ask to be seated in a quieter area of the restaurant, such as an alcove or a separate room or maybe a table away from bars or machinery. When it's noisy and there is nowhere quieter and you can't move, you can ask the venue managers if they can turn down the background music. So that's not a bad idea. I suppose just suggesting that
it's a good one.
You can turn the volume down a little bit. It doesn't always have to go to 11. And if you read lips, quote, if you're part of a larger party, ask to be seated at a round table rather than a rectangular one and search for places with brighter lighting. So that should make it easier to read the lips of the companions who are on there, especially if you're trying to discern those consonants, like you said, Mike, between wife and white in those examples there. We've got some more callers on the line. Let's go to Carol now. Hi, Carol. What's your question or comment?
It's more of a comment. About 30 years ago, I lost my hearing rather suddenly in one side only. And it doesn't have to be a gradual loss of hearing. When you can only hear from one side, all sounds flatten. You don't get that that sense of knowing really what a person's saying. And it got to a point where I truly dreaded going to noisy places. And I have gone in and asked people to lower the sound of music background and things. But, yeah, it really affects what you can do and how you can socialize.
That unilateral loss can affect, meaning one-ear hearing loss. There's a timing phase and intensity difference between the ears that helps us to locate sounds in space, but also it helps us to pick up speech in the presence of background noise. Someone with only one ear will miss out on 47% of what's being said in the presence of background noise.
Wow.
That is a definite problem for you.
Thanks for the call, Carol. We do appreciate it. Next up on the line, we've got Eric. Hi, Eric. What's your question or comment?
Well, my comment's this. I think that there's an alternative theory on how all this sound problem got started in restaurants, and I think it starts with Chipotle.
Okay. Well,
Years ago, when they started up, they went for an industrial grunge look, and they amped the sound up that because there are no absorptive surfaces. So there you go. And other restaurants are still doing it. But, you know, Curritos, for example, perfectly nice place, loud as can be.
Look, it's Big Burrito causing this problem, then it sounds like. Well, Eric, we appreciate that. We appreciate that hypothesis presented to us. I have to say, I've blamed a lot of the bad things in my life on Chipotle. So
every time I'm on here with you, we talk about Chipotle.
We do a lot.
Like every time.
I don't know if that's coincidental or if we just get a craving.
We probably. I haven't eaten lunch yet. So,
you know what? I've been doing this a long time, and the biggest complaint I have about the restaurant is Cracker Barrel. I don't know why.
Yeah, but they're playing Trisha Yearwood.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so much volume for Trisha Yearwood.
Yeah, but it's a large area and cement floors and tall ceilings. So a lot of people will tell me that restaurant. So.
And some, I guess, some options would be drapery, right? Mm-hmm. Would that help?
Anything to dampen the sound, like carpeting, drapery. There's also panels you can get that are kind of cosmetically appealing, and you stagger them, and it wouldn't cost a whole lot of money to do that. So
yeah, it's too bad that drapery is kind of like out at restaurants, right, Julie?
It is kind of, although there's an upcoming article on Schwartz Point that you should read very soon.
We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know. So is my editor. And one of the things that they do is they have drapery, and they've got carpet up on the wall because the room is wedge-shaped, and that helps preserve the sound, and sound is very important to jazz, and it looks really cool.
Yeah.
So I think that if there's, you know, if we move away from this like industrial aesthetic and into a more boho aesthetic, we can work with this, which is sort of what Sartre's done.
And what about like concrete floors? Because that's very hip. And I love concrete floors aesthetically, but do they hinder the ability to hear?
Yeah, anything like churches. You know, they have the tile floors are beautiful, stained glass windows, tall arch ceilings, and once again, we get back to reverberation or vibrations that affect the way someone's hears. And, you know, in defense of the restaurateurs, they didn't think about noise. So
yeah,
they're
sure,
not, and now they know.
Well, we
so
were hoping to get a
change.
Perspective on that from Sartre managing partner Jim Cornwell, but it didn't look like we were able to connect with him today, so we apologize for that. But I do want to thank the two who were able to join us today. So thank you so much for The Hill, Hear Better Clinic, audiologist Michael Hill. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And WVXU food writer and Wine Me, Dine Me author Julie Neeson. We'll look forward to that upcoming article. What's the name of that place?
Schwartz's Point.
All right. Looking forward to reading about Schwartz's Point. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.